It's green.
I'm green. You green?
All right. Simply Christmas. Some of you are sad that we didn't sing more Christmas songs today. You thought you had one more Sunday. Some of you are like, thankfully, we've moved on. If you're like me and you start after Halloween, you're probably ready to move on. So we're glad that you've come, and today is our last Sunday in our Simply Christmas series. It's not very much of a Christmassy message this morning, but it is in the series that we're talking about all these simple things. We started with a simple choice, and we talked about how man made a choice. We have free will, and in the garden, God said, do not eat of the one tree. And sure enough, man said, who's God to tell me what I can't do? And of course, the serpent lied and deceived, and then man sinned. And from that time on, everyone is born with a sin problem. Everyone born of man is born with a sin problem. And we act on that sin problem, a simple choice. Some of you still can't get over the fact that it was handed down, right? It was from the first Adam that all have sinned. Well, you chose to sin also. It's a two-way street. Not only are you born with the sin problem, but you choose to act on it. We all have. Jesus was not born of Joseph. He was God's son, did not inherit Joseph's sinfulness. That's why he did not have a sin nature. So God then put his plan into effect. A simple plan, right? The miracle of the, which one was that? Miracle of the method, right? The miracle of the method. And then we talked about the miracle of the moment, how God does things in his time, in his way, and he makes no mistakes. Remember, we talked about how God will accomplish his plan in his time. That's the method in the moment, right? There you go. So we got a simple choice, a simple plan, a simple time, and then it leads us to the last night. Well, we did the simple manger on Christmas Eve. How God chose a beautiful, simple answer by not sending Jesus to a castle as a king, but as a baby in a manger. All the symbolism pointing to him being the perfect lamb. Born in Bethlehem, where they raised the sheep for sacrifice in Jerusalem, wrapped in cloths, a sign, this sign will be unto you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger, just like those sacrificial lambs for Jerusalem. And the shepherds went in there. Sure enough, it was there. Again, I highly urge you to watch Kevin Costner's version of The First Christmas. I truly love it. I love the fact that it's probably the most accurate looking, at least, actually using people from the Mideast instead of white Americans with blonde hair and blue eyes. And I love everything about that. But I love the moment the shepherds came in. The first little shepherd boy walked into that little place, and he saw him. And they told them the angels came. And there were so many of them. I love how he says that. There were so many of them. And then all the shepherds walk in. And I love, Mary's Elizabeth walked in and said, keep your dirty hands off of him. Don't touch the baby. But we're glad you're here to worship him. Oh, the simple manger. Let's wrap this whole thing up with a simple word. It's the miracle of the message. Would you pray with me this morning? You don't have to say this out loud, but just give this prayer to God. God, since there's something you want me to hear, I'm willing to listen. Just give that prayer to God. God, since there's something you want me to hear, I'm willing to listen. God, may you be glorified. May everyone hearing this be edified, and we pray that Satan would be horrified. In Jesus' name, amen. The truth is, God's miracle of the message, he's been talking to us all the way along through the Old Testament. I want you to look at Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, if you could open up your Bibles. And by the way, we were here last night, and we made sure that every other chair, not the new ones up front, but every other chair has a basket. So there should be a Bible within reach. If you don't have one, look underneath the chairs in front of you, or maybe the one you're sitting in. So there are Bibles throughout if you want to use that, or use your phone. Perhaps they won't be on the screen today because we lost our main screen. boom, it blew up. We've been hoping that would blow up. We need a new projector really bad. Is anybody else like me that it just drives you nuts that the middle screen was never as bright as the outside screens? It just drives me nuts. My heart was breaking. Honestly, I've been praying, Lord, take that one out so we can get a new one. So now it's out. We're going to get a new projector, hopefully, and get it to look all the same. So you're going to need to look it up on your own, which is a good thing. We need to be carrying our Bibles. What a great message to talk about carrying your Bibles and using your Bibles. The miracle of the Word, the simple Word. A miracle of the message. How will we know what God has to say if we don't look into His Word? But He's been speaking to us throughout all history. And the Bible says so in Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom also He made the universe. You know this. Jesus didn't appear for the first time in a manger. Jesus was with God at the beginning. The Bible says, in the beginning was God, right? In the beginning. And in the beginning, God created. But in that creation story, God has a conversation. There's no one that's been born yet. There's nobody been created yet, but God has a conversation. He said, let us make man in our own image. Who's He talking to? Well, Jesus has been in heaven all along. The Son has been with the Father from the beginning, before the creation of the world. And the Holy Spirit has also existed. Our God is three in one. It's called the Trinity. One God. Don't get confused. We don't have three gods. We have one God in the personhood of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so God spoke with Jesus and the Holy Spirit from the beginning. From that time, God has been communicating with us. He says, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets, at many times and in various ways. So this morning, three simple Christmas truths. Number one, God speaks throughout history. He speaks throughout history. 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21. Says, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Follow that along there. In 2 Peter, God has always been speaking to us. The prophets we have in the Old Testament, they didn't just make up stuff. They spoke as the Holy Spirit led them, and it is God's Word. So God's been speaking to us from the past. It says in Isaiah 55 and 11, Isaiah 55 and 11, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. God has been speaking. Speaking throughout history. I wrote down several of them. I didn't want to miss them. So let me read a couple of them to you. God has communicated throughout history. Creation. Without anything else being communicated, creation cries out that there's a God. Have you ever seen a sunrise or a sunset? Have you ever been in awe of the sun, the moon, and the stars? God has been speaking. He says in various ways, in various times. God speaks through His creation. The Bible says that if you won't spread God's word, even the rocks will cry out. God has been speaking to mankind. A lot of people struggle with natural revelation being enough. And it is difficult how somebody that has never heard the gospel, maybe in a tribe that's never been reached, that they would know that there is at least a God by the perfection of the sunrise and the sunsets every day. The moon comes up and the stars are there. They can at least surmise from that there must be something greater than them out there. A creator God. Now through that, no one can take and see that the sun rises, sun sets, and say, well, there must be a Son of God who went to a cross and died for my sin. That's not there. So what will God do with those people who've never heard about Jesus? I think they're going to be accountable to what they were told, what they've seen. At least they need to understand that there is a God. And God speaks. You see how important it is that we send the word, though, so that people will know. How will they know if no one goes? How will they hear if no one tells them? God speaks through creation. And then we see God speaking through Moses.
Moses, take your shoes off, for the ground you're on is holy ground.
You see the burning bush.
Noah, build an ark.
What's an ark? We see God continue speaking through the Old Testament. To the Israelites, he gave them smoke by day and fire by night. To Elijah, a still small voice. To Isaiah, a vision in the temple. To Hosea, through family circumstances. Through Amos, he spoke through a basket of summer fruit. Through Jeremiah, the potter's clay. Through Joseph, dreams. God even spoke through a donkey, for crying out loud. God has always spoke to us. But understand this. None of those messages were complete in themselves. Understand what I'm saying? God spoke in various times in various ways, but never the whole piece of the puzzle was in there. How many of you do puzzles at Christmas? Every year, you know, we get to a point, my wife says, go get the table. Got to get the table out from the basement and put it upstairs where the light's right. I've learned this stuff. There has to be right light. And when there's right light, you got the puzzle pieces all go out. Now, Josh always steals one. He hides it, you know. And if he doesn't confess, Jack's probably ate one piece, our dog, right? I don't know. Puzzles are an amazing thing. But God spoke and he gave pieces. Each one of the people that heard from God in the Old Testament heard pieces. God has been speaking his message through angels, symbols, natural events, even his own handwriting on a wall. There is no lack of variety in how God spoke. But now, this is what I want to get to, number two, God speaks through Jesus. All the messages God sent through the Old Testament, the little pieces of the puzzle about who he was and what he was doing, now becomes very clear. In Jesus, we see the puzzle put all together in full color, and God speaks through Jesus. Hebrews 1, verse 3. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sin, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. John 14, 9. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip, even if I've been with you for such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? And then in John 10, 30, I and the Father are one. The message is clear, friends. The message of Christmas is very clear. God sent his Son, Jesus. Jesus didn't only come with the message. Jesus is the message. Jesus is God's Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God's message was delivered clearly when he sent us Jesus. Simply, Christmas is a beautiful story, but I don't want you to miss the significance of what God did. He spoke clearly now that everyone could know that there is a way to have peace with God. It's through this child, this baby born in Bethlehem. It is through him that God would reconcile us to himself. It's a beautiful thing. So God speaks through Jesus. Third thing, God speaks to transform. So God doesn't just tell us a good story. I hope Christmas isn't just a good story to you and then you move on. I hope it's life-changing. God doesn't speak just to amuse or entertain. You know, it's kind of entertaining in the Old Testament to think about Moses seeing a burning bush. That's a wow moment. It's a pretty cool message when Elijah's facing the prophets of Baal and he's waiting for God to speak because he's been doing all the talking so far. I mean, I love that passage because I don't know if it's very clear in there that God told him to do that. He kind of got himself out there ahead of time. Have you ever done that? Have you ever been out there like, oh man, here we are. He's like, okay, bring me some water, pour it on the, and get the whole thing wet. And then he's like, okay, God, now you need to send fire from heaven. Sorry to talk about this ahead of time. But I need fire to come from heaven, like right now. And God spoke. Those are incredible stories, but they're not just stories. It's to reveal to us that God is. And God speaks to transform. 1 Timothy 2. Verse 6, who gave himself as a ransom for all people, this has now been witnessed to at the proper time. God wants to transform us by sending us Jesus to ransom us. He buys us back. 2 Timothy 3:16-17, all scriptures God breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. God sent Jesus so the message would be clear, so that it would equip us. The message we have, the Bible you own, that is to equip you for this life and to prepare you for what's next. And then 1 Thessalonians 2:13, and we also thank God continually when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as human word, but as it actually is, the word of God, which indeed is at work in you who believe. God sent Jesus to ransom us, equip us, and to work in us. Oh, please don't let Sunday be your only day of the week where God speaks to you. Please, it's not enough. That's not enough to sustain you. Get in the Word. The whole thing was meant to give us a clear message, a miracle of the message. And God sent His Son to transform you. And you can't be transformed by showing up for an hour and 15 minutes on Sunday. It's a great start for the week. Then get in His Word all week long. Know Jesus. One of our goals as believers is to become more like Him. How can you be like Him if you don't know what He was like? That's the beauty of what God did when He sent us Jesus. He could communicate with us clearly. As one of us, He became one of us. Have you ever been in another country where you didn't speak the language and you really needed to communicate something? One of my first missions trips was to Brazil with a team of teens, and we went to a deaf camp. And so we were in Brazil that speaks Portuguese, and we didn't speak Portuguese. And then we went to a deaf camp and we didn't do sign language either. So it was a double whammy. There's just no way I could communicate. Now, I got pretty good at not Portuguese. We call it Jacksonese. My Jacksonese is pretty good. It's close to Portuguese. But while we were there, my job was to paint a bench. I had to paint one bench on a main sidewalk at this deaf camp. And I painted it blue. And as I'm painting it, I realized I need to warn people that this is wet. So I found somebody who could speak Portuguese. And I said, how do you say wet blue paint? And they looked at me and they said, tinta fresca azul. Tinta fresca azul. Tinta fresca azul. I'm like, I can say that. It's part of my new vocabulary. I've got it down. And so I got this thing painted perfectly, and then the class came out and they're all wondering, and I stood by that bench. Tinta fresca azul. Tinta fresca azul. But they were deaf. I don't know why. I could speak the language of the country they were in, but I couldn't speak because they couldn't hear. Boy, at that moment, I wish, you know, the Bible talks about speaking in tongues as a special gift. At that moment, I would have given give me the gift of speaking in hands. Let me just tell them, wet blue paint, wet blue paint, tinta fresca azul. Without Jesus, the message from the Old Testament, we didn't have all the pieces. But through Jesus, we have everything we need. The Word, the message became like one of us. It's clear now. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. I think I read that one. Did I read that one?
Yeah.
Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is alive and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. You see, God gave us His word. Jesus is God's word, but then He gave us a written word. This beautiful book. And I urge you to get in this book. There's a beautiful part in The Grinch. You know Jim Carrey's The Grinch? Come on, don't act like you're that spiritual. I'm sure you all watched it. You know, little Cindy Lou Who, she's the cutest little thing. There's a part in there where Cindy Lou nominates the Grinch for the Cheermeister, right? The Cheermeister, the honorary Cheermeister of the year. And you're not supposed to speak the word Grinch in Whoville. But Cindy Lou says, I nominate the Grinch! And what does the mayor do? Remember the mayor? The mayor of Whoville asks for the Book of Who. And he opens the Book of Who, and what does he say? Let me get my glasses on, and I wrote it down. He says, my, what an altruistic daughter you have, Lou. As he pulls out the Book of Who, he says, the award cannot go to the Grinch, because sometimes things get lead pipe cinch. What did Cindy Lou say? No, it doesn't. Oh, yes, it says it right here. You can't nominate the Grinch because things become lead pipe cinch. And she goes, what page? What page? I love that part of that movie because as believers, there's something we should take from that. See, apparently the mayor thought he could pull one over on little Cindy Lou Who because he pulled the book out and he pretended to read out of it, but he made something up that wasn't true. And when he said it, immediately she knew. I'm starting to sound like Zeus. My words are rhyming. I'm not even trying. She says, no, it doesn't. Yes, it certainly is right here. Then what page? You see, friends, as believers, I'm afraid that the world is telling you things that just aren't true. I'm afraid that you're getting filled with messages that aren't from God. The world will say, well, surely it's this. You need to say, no, that's not true. And when somebody declares something, you should say, well, what page? Take me and show me from the book, because if it's not in the book, I think Cindy Lou sometimes is more prepared than you and I are to defend God's Word. See, God's Word is an incredible thing. His message is clear and it speaks directly. Let me just give you a couple of them. You see, when you don't feel loved, the Bible says nothing can ever separate you from my love. When you don't know what to do. The Bible says, trust in me with all your heart and lean not on your own understandings. In all your ways acknowledge me and I will direct your paths. The book says, when you do not know what to do, but you don't, what you do know what to do, but you don't want to. The Bible says, forgive those who mistreat you. When you want to burst with joy, some of you just want to burst with joy from time to time. The Bible actually says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. You see, in this book, it's not the book of who, but it's the book of God. He has written His Word to us. And from the time that Jesus came, the Word has become flesh and dwelt among us. It's like a deaf child at a Portuguese-speaking camp in Brazil. And Jesus shows up and He speaks Portuguese and ASL. American Sign Language. I don't know. Do they use American Sign Language in Brazil? I don't know. Maybe it's BSL. Is it BSL? I don't know. But Jesus spoke it. He could speak to us because He's one of us. And we can understand Him because He's one of us. So He brings God's message clearly. And then what we have in the rest of this book is God's Word clearly given. I encourage you that simply Christmas, it's a beautiful thing, but it's simply a beginning for you and I to follow Him. and to know Him. Conclusion, the miracle of the message is the miracle. The miracle of Christmas is the miracle of the message. God loves you and me. Believe the message God is speaking to you, and your life will never be the same. Do you believe this? Let me pray and close the service. I'm going to ask the Schultz to join me in just one second. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. First of all, that word is Jesus in flesh. That you sent your Son. The only way that the message could be communicated clearly is you came to us. You acquiesced to us. You came down to us. And now you are God with us. And because of Jesus, we see who you are. We know who you are. And we hear the message that it's through Jesus we are ransomed to you. We are bought back. That the price was paid in full when Jesus went to the cross and died for our sins. And then you rose Him from the dead, defeating sin and death once and for all. God, I pray that people here today would know you as their Savior, but then know your word and be in your word. God, I pray at the beginning of this new year, 2026, that the people of Oakwood would commit to opening your word each day and to hear from you. That's my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. To close our service, I'm going to ask Ben and his